Welcome, Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. Let me introduce the crew. Guys, if you don't mind waiting for the video portion of our show, we've got Dr. Travis Yates, retired police major from the Tulsa Police Department. That's right. Also, Lieutenant Randy Sutton. He is the founder of the Wounded Blue, the woundedblue.org. Also, he is a retired Las Vegas Metro Police lieutenant. Yeah. Imagine that. And then we've got Danny King. He's very serious today. And so Danny is, Danny's actually got a few things going on. I'm looking here to see if I can see what the last one was. Let's see, focuscertified.com. That's going to be Travis Yates. And Danny, I'm trying to find your site here because I know that you said you were taking down the one site. How can people find you right now? What do you got going on the internet right now, Danny?
ReasonableOfficer.com. It's
Can't hear you, Danny, but it sounded like reasonableofficer.com. You got to get a different mic hooked up there, and your interface for that is on the bottom left of the screen. So guys, also want to cover, you know, what we're going to be talking about as well. And these are stories just to whet the appetite. But I tell you what, before we go there, let's go ahead and talk about our sponsors. So our sponsors, we have our title sponsor, Galls at Galls.com. Don't forget that discount code. It's Radio15. So type in Radio15 in order to get 15% off your next order. Also, ComplyTechnologies.com, our satellite sponsor. We have GunLearn.com, MyMedicare.live, TwoBells.com. They built a new online store at LeoRoundtable.com. A shout out to the three guys that are helping get this content out there. We've got our very own Travis Shades with LawOfficer.com, Brian Burns with the Tampa Free Press at Tampa FB. .com and Ray Dietrich, former lawman.com. So thanks to all those entities for helping make this show happen. And also, we are on, and Scott Steyer wants me to remind people, you can find, if there's a podcast platform, we're on it, guys, if you're on the podcasting. So, and we're certainly on Spotify and Apple iTunes, two of the most popular. And as far as radio goes, we're on so many stations. Go to leoroundtable.com and look at that menu to find out what radio stations out of the 47 around the country that we're on. We're also on social media, Rumble, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, formerly X, True Social, a lot more. So make sure that you guys check it out. Now, let's whet the appetite on what we're going to be talking about. Now, there is the second topic is going to be one that Randy brought up before we went live. So, and that's from across the pond. So we'll be bringing that up as a second story. The first one is going to be Florida Senator Ashley Moody is introducing a bill that's going to crack down on criminals who are targeting police dogs and horses. And then we got a couple stories with some nudity stuff we're talking about. The first one, Florida man arrested after allegedly thrusting at doorbell camera in a G-string. And then we've got a story with a video component, a naked guy shot dead by Louisville Metro police officer after he assaults multiple people. Now, I want to point out that the cop shot, you know, this a naked guy. So people from the outside looking in, the window or the ability to be able to shoot people who are naked is limited, right? Because they're not armed with anything. If they're naked, you're going to know if they're armed or not. This guy was not armed, but he still got shot. So we're going to discuss that and whether that was appropriate or not. Obviously, his clothing attire was not. Then we got an officer arrested after allegedly pointing a firearm at a fellow cop over microwaving a fish. Now, I'm going to let you guys wonder whether the fish was alive or dead until we get there. Then we got body cam video showing Miami-Dade deputy fatally shooting a woman that's armed with a knife. And these are two female bathroom stories back to back. So, yeah, the first one, Miami-Dade deputy, she comes out of the bathroom armed with a knife. And then we got Louisville and body cam police fatally shooting another woman. She's holding a glass object during a mental crisis as she's coming out of the bathroom. And then we got an ex-New York trooper sentenced in a 2020 throughway crash that killed an 11-year-old girl. If we cover that, it's interesting how that ended up going down. And then SCOTUS declines to hear qualified immunity case allowing a Michigan officer to be sued over use of force. And so most of the time, the qualified immunity comes in on civil cases, not criminal, as it does in this one. And then lastly, Ohio police chief who visited a Cincinnati public school while claiming to be with ICE, she ended up getting fired. And the officer that she went with, one of the officers ended up throwing her kind of under the bus a little bit. So if you guys are ready, let's go in and cover the first one. It's it's one of two main topics that we have. So Tampa Free Press at TampaEPI.com. Florida Senator Ashley Moody introduces a bill to crack down on criminals who target police dogs and horses. You know, I love Ashley Moody. I'm not saying that just because she's from Florida. She took over the AG spot from Pam Bondi when Pam Bondi left the AG position for Florida. And now, of course, Ashley is a senator, a U.S. senator. So this bill introduced in Washington, D.C., it aims to significantly increase the criminal penalties for individuals who intentionally harm or kill law enforcement animals. It's sponsored by our very own Senator Ashley Moody from Florida, and it's called the Leo Canine Protection Act. It targets offenders who use deadly weapons against federal police dogs, and they're throwing horses in as well while they're, you know, in the line of duty. We've had, if you guys have been, I'm not talking to the panelists, I'm talking to the users, the listeners, the viewers. If you've been paying attention, you know, we've got some riding stuff going on where they're actually throwing like 2x4s at horses' heads, you know, trying to hurt them. So, so these are like penalty enhancements and statutes that take care of that. There is one thing I wish it had. I actually yesterday contacted Moody's office to see if there was any way they could get it added. But the bill is named in honor of Canine Leo, a fallen canine deputy from Marion County Sheriff's Office here in Florida. It serves as a companion bill to legislation that's already been introduced into the U.S. House of Representatives, and that is being done by Congressman Aaron Bean. So he introduced it to the House. Ashley's introducing it to the Senate. And Ashley Moody goes on to talk about these highly trained animals, both canines and horses. They help law enforcement apprehend dangerous criminals, detect narcotics and explosives, assist in searches and find missing persons, save lives, et cetera. And that we need to protect them. And beyond increasing criminal penalties for the attackers, the bill also introduces logistical and legal protections. It's pretty much like if you're a good Samaritan trying to save these animals, that's what it does. And it also authorizes emergency medical providers to go ahead and transport these animals to medical facilities. Because you know, we just covered a story recently where they tried to jam up a dude in with fire rescue or with an ambulance providing medical assistance trying to save a canine. The canine died. I see Randy. He's shaking his head. You know, he remembers the story, but you know, they didn't, they could have prosecuted this guy and gone for it. They decided not to, but this kind of takes care of that. Let me just add one more thing before we talk about this. I have, we had Anthony Bandero. He is our search and seizure guy, attorney on the show. And he, when we were talking about a specific canine story where the handler released his dog, he didn't run up to the bad guy with the dog. Bad guy was armed with a knife. Bad guy stabbing the dog. And you know, we're screaming like, man, why doesn't the other cop with the long rifle take the guy out? And then Anthony Bandero pointed out, reminded us all that, hey, look, you know, even though canines are treated as police officers, you know, when they're injured and killed through the penalty enhancements, it's like, you know, killing an officer on, you know, in the line of duty, we cannot protect them using lethal force. They're considered department property. Same is pretty much true with the horses from what I understand. So some cops don't realize that, a lot of cops do. We've had two or three stories where cops have actually killed a bad guy harming their police dog. They have not been prosecuted, although they could have been prosecuted. And then I found out the other day that NYPD, when Darren Porcher was on the show, they actually have a policy allowing officers to use lethal to protect the canine. But the state statute does not support that. They could still get jammed up. So I asked Ashley Moody, if there's any way that they could do it an addendum or add that into the statute. I know it's federal. It won't necessarily carry over the state, but it would be a start. So that's, I just wanted to throw that in before we talk about it. So, so guys, what do you think about this, this thing? It's on a federal level, but we have to start somewhere. Travis Shakes.
Yeah. It is amazing to me that with everything the federal government puts their hands in, right? I mean, police reform this, police reform that, that they have yet to do this. Many states have already done this. I actually had a hand in turning this into a felony crime in Oklahoma when I found out it was just a misdemeanor to do whatever you want to do to a police dog. But it's kind of wild that the federal government just now is getting around to doing it. So I applaud Ashley for doing it. I think it's going to be very interesting to see how the left side of the aisle votes on this, because I don't think they'll be inclined to vote for it. But then you have the animal aspect in it that they're going to kind of be pulled from. So this is probably something that's not even partisan. This is a bipartisan thing. I mean, who would argue this? But they will argue this, and it probably won't even come up for a vote the way things are going in D.C.
All right. You're probably right. Now, this next story. Oh, Randy, did you want to comment on this one?
Yeah. As you said, I think this is a good start. This should be statutorily included in every state so that, because right now, I mean, the vast majority of police animals, canines and horses, are not federal. Now, they're being utilized, you know, at Delaney and other places now, but the vast majority are within the states. So there's still no protection against, in many states that have not included this. Now, there's also one aspect of this that I find interesting, and that is, it statutorily mandates medical treatment for the animals. Well, here's something interesting.
It authorizes, it doesn't mandate it. It authorizes them to transport, but it doesn't mandate. It's their discretion.
I think that if the way I read it, that there's a mandatory aspect to this, to treating the animals, that they have to receive medical treatment.
I'll go through and I'll go back and read this again. And because I highlighted that because I'm going to drop down to the bottom of the article, and it says that the act instructs the U.S. Department of Transportation to issue regulations explicitly authorizing emergency medical service providers to transport injured animals to medical facilities at their discretion.
Okay, I thought I read something else in that talked about mandating that the animal actually receive treatment. But maybe I misread it. I could be wrong,
but
because I was just thinking, we don't have anything statutorily that mandates that police officers be effectively treated, and that's one of the things
that's a great point. Yeah,
that we have seen all over the country is officers not being given the proper medical treatment, and of course that's why the Wounded Blue exists. Because of issues like that.
You hit it on a good point too, because you said that most of the time they're in state. You're right. I know that this bill also covers them if they're, and we're 13 seconds out from our break, if they're on a federal task force or working with the feds, they're covered automatically. But all good points, guys. First commercial break. We're talking about gauze. We'll be right back.
My family only cares about one thing, that I come home safe.
At gauze, every order begins with a promise. Made with purpose. Stitched for support. Backed with pride. Answered by dedicated hands. Delivering the standard you have sworn to uphold. We serve more than the mission. We serve the person. Each piece is engineered to help get our first responders through the shift and back home safe.
Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by Dr. Travis Yates, retired police major from Tulsa, Lieutenant Randy Sutton, founder of the Wounded Blue, thewoundedblue.org. We've got Officer Danny King as well in the Las Vegas area. And we've had a great conversation about Ashley Moody, Senator from Florida. She's got a bill going before the Senate enhancing. It's a enhancement statute for penalties against criminals that target police animals like canines and horses. So I love it. So I know that Randy, of course, he steps away from the microphone right when we're getting ready to go into the next story that he's supposed to be covering. Danny, did you want to cover anything about the previous story involving the canines and the horses?
No, most states, Nevada, we have a statute, and we prosecute guys for injuring animals.
All right. I love it. So, Lieutenant Randy Sutton, before the show started, you brought up a story from across the pond that I had read a little bit about. I'm obviously not as familiar with it as you are. So, would you mind educating us and bringing us up to speed? Because I know that you're going to appear on Newsmax after this show talking about this topic, I believe.
Yeah. So, there was a murder that took place in England. The murder was committed by a Sikh, and it was as a result of an altercation that took place. The Sikh stabbed multiple times a white male who was, I think, 19 years old, that had no criminal history, no interactions with the law, apparently just a stand-up kid. Stabbed him multiple times. The police were called. And while this, and this is captured on the body cam of the officer, the kid who was stabbed is begging for help and telling the officer, "I've been stabbed." And the officer says, "I don't think so, mate," and let him bleed to death, choking on his own blood, while he doesn't even handcuff the murderer. And now, as a result of this, now this happened in December, but it's now just coming out of what actually took place because the body cam footage was released. They have laws now in England, which statutorily require the police to treat people differently depending on their race. And it is an anti-white set of laws. And what this has now become public in such an incredibly horrendous way. And now rage is taking place. They just had some riots as a result of this, which is very interesting, that whites are rioting because of the situation over there. Now, here's why I think this is an important topic to discuss. What they have done is they have created politics over policing. They have statutorily required the police to act differently because of people's race, rather than treat people the same. Now, why is that important to the discussion here in America? It's because we're seeing the beginnings of that here in America. We are seeing statutorily states and various cities creating policies and laws which are designed to encourage policing to act differently depending on the race of people. For instance, there are now states and there are cities that do not allow the police to enforce what they call minor violations. Now, this is designed for one purpose, to keep the police from interacting with minorities. That is the design of this, of these laws. So what we're seeing now is the beginnings of politics over policing here in America. And the inevitable result is now been demonstrated in England with the horrendous way that this young man was treated by the police and by the criminal court system. And that's why I think it's important to discuss.
Well, that certainly was not in the article that I saw. So I'm glad you brought it up on the day's show. And my fear now is that people just aren't going to, I mean, if they're watching Newsmax, they're going to be aware of it, but it's not in the national media right now. I mean, I just haven't seen it. I just saw one article about it and it didn't have all that information in it. So, wow.
So, well, yeah, Randy, I think if you step back and you actually look at it, not talking, well, if you step back and look at it, it's easy for us to see as Americans what you're talking about. But what really has been the difference in the changes of the laws in the United States over the last 10 years, right? It's not based in fact. It's not based in reality. It's politics, right? And not only is it politics, it's counter to what the American citizen wants, right? The American citizen wants a peaceful America. And people have, via the laws, change those things, right? To support criminals and make it harder for cops to do their job, make it easier to sue and criminally charge cops. And so, you know, I don't see it as any different over there than it is here.
Yeah, I don't see this we're at the beginning of it. We've been knee deep in this since we started kneeling for a lie in 2020. I mean, that radically shifted internationally, law enforcement all over the place, and you can even argue just race relations in general. And we still haven't given back on that lie. You know, I was sort of doing a list of all the lies that we put up with all these years that have led to this. Of course, the big lie is that, you know, that there's a systematic racism in policing. That's the overarching lie that nobody wants to discuss. We just make all these changes. Well, no one's proven that. There's no proof at all in that. In fact, when you look at the literature on that, police activity falls directly along the lines of criminal activity. Meaning, if you're listening to this and if you think there's disparity in your department, run your part one crimes. Why is part one crime important? We don't predict. We don't get to say who's committing those crimes. Those are real victims, right? Rape, robbery, homicide, burglary, part one crimes. You run the part one crimes, break down the demographics of that, then break down your police activity, stops, arrests, this and that. They're going to fall within just a few percentage points of each other every single time. But nobody wants to talk about that. They just want to say, oh, disparity. Let's change everything up to what you're talking about, Randy.
Well, perfect segue 100%. For our next commercial break. So thanks, guys. Hold those thoughts. We're going to jump right back in after we come back from commercial break. We'll see you in just a second. All right, guys, it's time to talk about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. And they are committed to providing non-lethal solutions to help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a humane, low-optics manner, utilizing their CD3, which stands for Conductive Distraction and De-escalation Device Technology. Now, their flagship product, we all know by now, it's called the Glove. It's not only helped officers tens of thousands of times, but they've had over 250,000 deployments. And guess what? No injuries, no deaths. Amazing stat. They've actually achieved non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. And when it comes to weapons retention, transitioning to a sidearm or a conductive energy weapon, the Glove at ComplianTechnologies.com, they virtually eliminated weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game with Compliant Technologies and their revolutionary CD3 that hundreds of agencies have already turned to nationwide. And friends, take it from me, when it comes to safety, this is one of the most common sense, hands-on solutions that's ever come along. Go to ComplianTechnologies.com today. Tell them that Chip sent you, ComplianTechnologies.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock. I'm your host. We're joined by Dr. Travis Shates, Lieutenant Randy Sutton, and also Officer Danny King. So thanks, guys, for being here. Now, I know that before commercial break, we've been talking about something that kind of Randy brought up about across the pond in England, a stabbing that happened, and they're treating the kid differently, and seemingly because he's white. And the stabber wasn't. And we've also got some commentary. We got a guy that's viewing it on the stream, Spook Dog. He put down that it was on social media. And then he also wrote something interesting, saying that content providers are asking people what the difference is between this situation in England, where we have this white kid getting stabbed by a foreigner, and George Floyd, and why it isn't getting the same news coverage. And he says the answers are unreal. So Travis is raising his hand, and I was wanting to go on this, but Travis Yates, but you're familiar with Liz Collin too. So go ahead, Travis, take it.
The difference, this kid wasn't committing a felony. This kid wasn't resisting arrest. This kid wasn't taking massive amounts of fentanyl that would kill a horse. This kid had not committed multiple felonies in prison time before this happened. That's the main difference. Oh, there's one other big difference that
a big one.
Everybody leave that up to their imagination.
Yeah. Well, I'll say it. George Floyd wasn't murdered. And people that want to debate that, I guarantee you they have not read Liz Collins' book called They're Lying or seen The Fall of Minneapolis, the documentary. Anyhow, I'm glad you took that. Well, we got some more. We got Randy Sutton getting ready to weigh in. So go ahead, Randy.
Oh, I think I've already, I've spun my web already.
I saw your mic open. I thought you wanted to add some more on that. So good commentary, guys.
Listen, I could talk about this all day long, but there is one other aspect that hasn't been covered, which is tangentially associated with it, and that is that it just came out the Southern Poverty Law.
Gosh.
Has now been found to have given millions of dollars to fund the hate, given money to the Ku Klux Klan and to other racist organizations to actually foment the hatred, and so that basically to justify their own existence.
Yeah.
But this was made public, but the amount of money that they spent has just been determined to be in the hundreds of millions of dollars.
It's a great business plan, right? We'll spend millions of dollars to make people stay in the KKK, but we fundraise off of it and make 10 times that. Listen, don't look at this stuff over in the United Kingdom and don't think that American policing isn't following suit. Folks, the largest de-escalation program in America that's been funded to the tune of over $100 million, called ICAT training, brought to us by PERF, okay, they got that training from the Scottish police. That was their enlightenment. The Scottish police don't carry guns, and the number of homicides in Scotland with a gun is right around zero each year. The violent crime rate in Scotland is 8x less than America, but because there's not a lot of use of force in Scotland, they brought their techniques to America that has then ballooned the officer assault and use of force rate in America to record highs. So don't think you don't have police organizations fawning over these foreign countries and their policies that they've implemented.
Yeah.
And you hit the nail on the head, because the FBI statistics just came out about officers assaulted in the line of duty. We're at over 90,000 reports now.
No, 90,000. Stop downplaying that and believe in the FBI, Randy. Only 12,000 departments submitted that data. It's been a trajectory high since 2019. We've never seen a trend like that. And nobody wants to talk about it. It's directly correlated with all these so-called police reforms that some we have gotten from places like the United Kingdom, where we're granted, we're talking about the horrible things that are happening. Why do you think it's happening? And what do you think we've brought over here across the pond? The organizations that are doing that need to be held accountable, because the officers on the streets that are impacted and the communities that are impacted, they don't have a choice. They're just given this out of a bunch of nonsense because the money is flowing that way.
And guys, let me just say before we rotate out of this one on that George Floyd thing, you know, yesterday we covered the story about, you know, Minneapolis Police Chief O'Hara. He's gone. Thank God that guy. He was just like a parrot for the mayor, for Jacob Frey. And then we had the female that was appointed. They just got rid of her, put someone else in. But I can't remember her name, but she's the same one that a bunch of guys came forward and signed a ton of affidavits saying that she lied during the George Floyd trial, because she said that the maneuver or the hold that Derek Chauvin put on George Floyd, that they didn't train that, is absolutely false, an absolute lie. And if you read Liz Collins' book, They're Lying, you'll see a picture from the training manual of the exact position that Derek Chauvin had George Floyd in, which was almost crucial to him getting convicted. And you had people like that female that was the chief, now she's been removed, they were absolutely lying about it. So yeah, so don't be misled into thinking that this was a murder at all of this George Floyd. And Travis gave you the rest of the update. Final words, Randy, or and Danny too. I want to move on, but your mics are open, so anything else?
I'm done.
Danny?
No, mm-hmm. it'll take forever, because we could talk about this forever. We're hurting ourselves.
All right. So let's have a little fun. We got a couple naked stories that we're going to come up, and I say fun. I mean, it would be more fun. They're not female naked stories. I know you guys are wondering about me now, but they're male naked stories. We got Tampa Free Press, TampaFP.com. Florida man arrested after allegedly thrusting a doorbell camera in a G-string. So look, the downside of the story is it's in my neck of the woods. It's Florida. And when we have these whack jobs, it seems like normally they're not in Las Vegas where Randy's at or Danny's at. They're not in Tulsa with Travis. They're here in Florida with me. So the 79-year-old Florida man faces multiple charges after allegedly exposing himself to neighbors. He's confronting a police officer while wearing a G-string thong. And Tyrone James Causey, arrested May 22nd. Residents, this is down in Hollywood, so it's further south from me, closer to Miami. According to the Hollywood Police Department, neighbors were frustrated with this guy. This behavior is repeated. It includes walking through common areas while making lewd gestures and thrusting his exposed directly at the neighbor's doorbell camera, which apparently recorded it, so he had something nice to wake up to. When Officer Savannah Hutchinson arrives, now they don't say it's a female, but I hope it ain't a dude named Savannah, unless he's a dancer, arrives at this guy's residence to investigate the complaints. The dude answers the door wearing only the G-string thong. And while talking with the officer, he reportedly cited a Florida statute saying that he had a legal right to be naked in the apartment complex, and illegal nudity only applied to like parks, stuff like that. And he then applied lipstick. He touched his, you know what, and he told Officer Hutchinson, "Hey, jump rope for me, baby doll." Randy, I mean, you know, this is the way we roll in Florida. So authorities, they interview five separate neighbors, they get the story straight, and they charge him with five counts of indecent exposure and lewd behavior. And he's been previously arrested for stuff like this before. So we don't even have to, Danny, I know your mic's open. Did you want to comment on this before we go to the next one, or are you just teasing me?
Yeah, no, this seems like a Florida, Las Vegas, Tulsa, Albuquerque thing to do. I don't get it. But
all right, so you're taking the heat off of Florida, and I appreciate that. So on that note, let's jump to our next neck.
Wait a minute, I want to know what color the G-string was.
You want to? I can make one up for you, but they left that to our imagination, apparently. So at Rumble.com, this is Butter, our favorite law enforcement video channel. We got a naked guy shot dead by Louisville Metro Police officer after assaulting multiple people.
His name? What's his name? Radio Thomas, one at gunpoint. Put your hands behind your back. Do it now, not you. Put your hands behind your back now. Show me your hands. Show me your hands now. Show me your other hand. Show me your right hand. Show me your other hand now. Stop. Stop walking towards me. Show me your hand. Show me your other hand. Stop! 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 Stop walking towards me! Stop walking towards me! Stop! Stop! Stop!
Fine.
One Baker, shots fired. One Baker, shots fired. Get down on the ground!
Now, the guy was not armed. I'll just throw that out there in the beginning, but listen how this happens. This guy shot dead, Louisville Metro Police officer. He allegedly assaulted multiple people Saturday night. Now, the man was identified as Martin Nitzkin Jr. He's only 27 years old. He's from Louisville. And according to the Louisville Metro Police Department Deputy Chief Ryan Bates, the officers responded to multiple calls around 9:27 p.m. There's an assault. This is on a Saturday, May the 30th. And police are told that at least three people have been assaulted and that they needed medical attention. And so the agency was informed that the suspect's running down the road nude. Witnesses point out the suspect when the cops get there, and they see him sitting in the middle of the street naked. And I remember the officer, there's really two main commands. He says, hey, show me both hands, because the guy's only showing one hand at a time, and his hand looks like it's behind his back. And they got part of him dithered, of course, because, you know, he's nude. And then the dude stands up and starts walking towards the police officer. And now the orders change from, hey, show me both hands, to like, hey, dude, stop, you know, stop coming at me. And then the officer ends up shooting the guy. The officer had his gun out the whole time. Suspect eventually declared dead, but suspect clearly not armed. Danny, I know you cover this all the time. You've got around 30 seconds before we take our commercial break, Danny.
Yeah, so the city fired him, or the county, Louisville Metro, fired him. We have yet to see the facts of the case. And
they fired the officer?
Yeah.
They did. Okay, wow.
Yeah, they fired him pretty quickly. And I would just add that, you know, just because he's fired doesn't actually mean he did anything wrong. I'm working on a case right now where an officer was charged and really didn't do anything wrong. It's just that rush to judgment. Right. Now, again, I'm not saying the rush to judgment.
Hold that thought. Go on commercial break. We'll be right back. All right, guys, time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. There's some new stuff going on with GunLearn, so pay attention in case you haven't heard or you're not aware. Now, GunLearn is the first and only company that offers a step-by-step program that takes you from your present knowledge level to become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist. Now, what has changed? Well, if you have that certified firearm specialist, now it's worth college credits, because GunLearn.com, they partnered with Smarter Degree and their university partners to attach college credits to it. Even if you got it 5 years ago, it's now worth college credits. And they've been doing this since 1996. They've been teaching everything that LEOs, which is law enforcement officers, need to know about firearms and ammunition to all facets of law enforcement. Now, you can start the day with online training, or you can sign up to attend a live seminar. And if you're chief or sheriff, you can actually get free training for yourself and all the personnel of your agency by hosting a seminar for absolutely no cost. This is an amazing opportunity. You go to GunLearn.com and get more information. Hook up with the founder, Dan O'Kelly. Again, GunLearn.com. And watch the cool videos. You'll be glad that you did. And welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by Dr. Travis Yates, Lieutenant Randy Sutton, Officer Danny King. And we've been talking about two stories. One, the guy maybe wasn't completely naked. He was sometimes from Florida, wearing a G-string when they grabbed him and put him in for indecent exposure and lewd stuff. This last one, though, that we were talking about before commercial break, we had an officer respond to a call with a guy that had been assaulting people officer gets there, the guy's in the middle of the street, you know, sitting down completely nude. And the male officer tells him, hey, show me both your hands. The guy shows him one hand at a time, but then he stands up and starts walking towards the officer, clearly not armed. Officer has his pistol out, and now he's approaching the officer. Officer's telling him to stop and ends up shooting him. And Danny King was covering this and just told us that the officer, you said that he got fired, right? Not just suspended, but he got fired, Danny, is that correct?
Yeah, he got fired. Okay. So, some other things to think about, Chip, is that we see the video and we see what happened, and we saw the video as it progressed in the This Is Butter video. But think about an officer is driving towards this scene, and he's hearing things like someone has a weapon, although I understand it's a civilian. The other thing that you're hearing violence, you're hearing that he just flipped out. You're also hearing that he strangled people. Okay. And that's what he's reading on the MDT or hearing in the transmission. And then this individual, while you have your weapon presented, is closing the distance, right? And so it's not like it's just a fist fight. You have your weapon and he's about probably within 3 to 4 feet of that weapon. So again, I'm not saying that it's reasonable because the facts matter, but it's not just a naked guy.
Yeah. And I know Travis he's getting ready to go. My whole thing is that I'm not going to get in a fight with a bad guy when my gun's out. I always flash back to the burglary in progress of a jewelry store, and I've got a deputy that shows up there, and you got a guy behind the counter, and the deputy, he's got his gun pointed at the burglar. Burglar comes around, doesn't appear to be armed, and so now the deputy makes the mistake. He thinks he has time to holster his weapon. And he's going to go hands on with the bad guy. But when the deputy goes to holster it, bad guy charges him. Guess what? Now they're fighting over a gun. Well, the deputy has got, you know, both hands on his gun because he's trying to retain it. Bad guy's got one hand on the gun and he's using the other hand to strike the deputy. And that's a situation you don't want to be in. So I'm always cautious. If the officer drew down on the guy and thought that maybe he was armed because he's only seen one hand at a time. And by the time he realizes that the guy's already approached him, he says, look, I don't have time to holster my weapon. In my opinion, it's completely justified shoot because you already, you know, no law requires you to holster your weapon to de-escalate, you know, in order to go hands off of the guy when he's approaching you. So that's my position on it. Travis Yates.
I think we've sold the public, a lie, and our chiefs are doing it mainly. We put officers in these positions and we expect them to be Superman and do these miraculous things. I would, you know, that police chief in Louisville, whoever it is, they have an acting chief every other week because of the disaster of that city under a consent decree. You know, he made a big deal about this does not match our, this does not match what we're about and blah, blah. I would say, well, what are you about? Because your officer is, just like Danny said, hearing all this information, right? He's assaulted somebody. There's a potential weapon there. He's not following commands. He's hiding hands as he's trying to approach. I would love to know what they expect the officer to do. Have they provided that type of training where the officer can just holster his gun and just, because it's easy for us and him to go, well, clearly he didn't have a gun. Well, no, that's not how we judge law enforcement. The courts have been very clear. You judge law enforcement based what they know at the time in a very high stress, tense situation, right? It's dark. His hands are moving quickly. They're going from the behind his back like he's concealing something to the front of his body. And the officer clearly has not been given any reason to believe this guy is not dangerous. Obviously, he's already committed crimes and assaulted people before. So I just think that we have really you know, whether it's all of this crazy language that we provide with sanctity of life and de-escalation, all these type of weird things. Well, none of that's impacted the safety of law enforcement. In fact, it's made things worse for law enforcement. Use of force is up. Officer assaults are up. So I would love to know what that police chief thinks we ought to do. Awful easy for him when he's sitting behind his air-conditioned chair in his office watching a video several times making his public comments on what he's doing. And so I think it's just very unusual of what we're seeing. And I would not shock me one bit if this officer doesn't get his job right back. They may bring charges on him. It wouldn't surprise me if he doesn't get acquitted, because juries tend to understand all this once people slow everything down and start explaining the rules we should be holding law enforcement to, and not some whatever reform language or voodoo that we're trying to throw at law enforcement today.
So I got 4 minutes if you guys are done, we'll have time to cover the New York trooper sentenced in that throughway crash. If that's you guys up for that.
One question that I have. Did any information come out about the toxicology of this guy? And what, because clearly he was either completely out of his mind or he was under the influence of something. We have seen the people that are getting naked and fighting with the police. We've seen this countless times when people are experiencing excited delirium and they have superhuman strength. So there's more to this story than we're getting.
That's no, the Louisville thought. Chief knows it, Randy. He knows they've been trained in excited delirium. He knows they've been trained on what PCP does to people. He knows the superior strength they have because taking your clothes off during that drug is very common. He knows this officer was trained to understand the danger of this, but he just wants to ignore it to play little games on television.
Even without those factors, if I don't think I have time to holster my gun, I'm shooting him. I'm not going to get in a fight over my gun with a naked bad guy. But
probably what was going to happen. I mean, the guy is 3 to 4 feet in closing. We know that the body camera distorts the distance, but there's no indication that this guy was going to surrender, but there is every indication that he was disassociated from reality and walking towards the officer. So let's also not pretend like there is an answer. If we looked at that officer's training, I'm willing to bet there is no training in this whatsoever. What he experienced, he experienced for the first time right then.
WAMC.org, ex-New York trooper sentenced in a 2020 thruway crash that killed an 11-year-old girl. I'm going to cut this really short because of time. So remember, he's an ex-New York State trooper. He doesn't work there anymore. He got sentenced to 2.5 to 7.5 years in prison in Ulster County Court on Tuesday in the ramming death of an 11-year-old girl. So here we have Trooper Christopher Baldner uses police car. Look, it's the Goods family, and the car is going 100 miles an hour. So let me cut down to the chase here. And we've got two people from WAMC, Elias Guerrera and Lucas Willard, that are talking about that. In 2020, then trooper Christopher Baldner pulls over Tristan Goods. That's the name Tristan. I thought it was a girl's name. You're saying it's the dad, who was driving over 100 miles an hour on the New York State thruway. And according to the defense, Tristan Goods, the father, refused to show his ID. At that point, trooper used pepper spray on the dad, the driver. Prosecutors say it escalated the initial incident, and then he ends up driving off. Now the trooper follows the vehicle. It's going over 100 miles an hour, and then twice rams the vehicle. It's also carrying Good's wife and his two daughters. The second hit, which was at 130 miles an hour, caused the car to flip over, land on the guardrail, and an 11-year-old daughter named Monica Goods ends up dying. At the initial trial in November, Trooper Baldner found not guilty of murder. Jury was hung on the manslaughter charge, and then they had a retrial, and he got convicted on manslaughter charge at the conclusion of the second trial, March 13th. Danny King.
Well, I'm shocked by this. I'm confused by this, actually. I don't understand the dynamic in which the father was not charged. And there could be more to this story, but the father is the one that fled the traffic stop. He was a sovereign citizen. He was saying the sovereign words. How he got pepper sprayed, I don't know if he resisted, but ultimately at the end of the day, his daughter was the subject's daughter was in the car unrestrained while he fled at 100 plus miles an hour. And she was ejected from the car. And in no way, at no point was the father ever charged in this incident at all. So I'm confused by this.
Yeah. I agree. Another
outrageous, decision. The fact that, and there were protests against law enforcement that were taking place outside the courthouse, blaming the racist police. And this is an 18-year trooper who had an unblemished record and now has been sacrificed on the altar of the left.
Well, guys, it's been another great show. Dr. Travis Yates, Lieutenant Randy Sutton, Officer Danny King, thank you guys so much. Randy, take about 15 seconds to talk about the Wounded Blue.
The National Law Enforcement, our sixth annual National Law Enforcement Survival Summit, will be held in Las Vegas, September 28th through the 30th, with an incredible array of speakers, including Dr. Travis Yates, who will be one of the headliners, And go to twbsummit.com, twbsummit.com, and make your reservation now.
Okay, guys, do that. Gulls.com, ComplyTechnologies.com, Gunler.com, and Medicare.life2bells.com. Thanks for watching. We'll see you back tomorrow, 12 noon Eastern.